Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we have got so much going on. It's the playoffs. It's the FedEx Cup playoffs, and this is kind of like for any sport, if it's the NFL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, you name it, the playoffs are kind of what it's all about, and everybody gets excited, and here we are. And so the FedEx Cup playoffs got started in Memphis and moving on to Colorado, and then, of course, ending up at Eastfield next week, and the field gets pared down a little bit. So a lot of drama in Memphis, by the way, and we'll talk about that and what happened with Hideki, the up and down final round, final nine holes for Hideki, and kept it interesting. It's almost like he kind of did it for the ratings. It's almost like, you know, somebody at the network goes, you know, people are just turning off because you got too big a lead. Everybody's just expecting, if you don't mind a couple, a double bogey and a okay. And sure enough, and turn back in to watch the drama. I called my friends. I said, hey, I guess you guys got to watch this now. It might be a playoff. So ended up being pretty exciting. And then, of course, they move on to the BMW Championship. So we'll talk about that in LIV Tour. What's going on, LIV? A lot of drama there, too, actually, at one of Frank's favorite haunts in over in West Virginia. And saw the playoff between Koepka and Rahm there, too. So anyway, speaking of Frank Bassett, he joins us. Frank has been a little under the weather lately, but coming back around and joins us now in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Absolutely. Doing good. Glad to be upright for a change.
Good. Yeah. Good to hear.
Woo. What a tough week. But it did not, this FedEx, of course, Memphis, where I'm from, that area.
Right.
And did not
you normally
get to
would
go.
Have been there.
I would have been there the whole week. I had plans, reservations, And Monday, instead of getting into my car to drive to Memphis, which is about 3 hours and 10 minutes or so from Nashville, I got into an ambulance, not by my own,
Not a plan. Yeah.
No, not a plan. It was crazy. In the hospital all week. So just out and kind of up and propped up in the chair here in the studio in Nashville. And all better, you know, just emergency surgery, just things happen, and you just don't expect it. But my apologies
couple of days in the hospital?
All week. Yeah, okay. Whole week. Just got out. Anyway, yeah, they just, it's surgery. I mean, it's, tough stuff. Yeah. But
you feel better, though?
Yeah, I do. My apologies to all my friends in Memphis and the PGA Tour radio team. Well, we were all going to get together and our friend Tracy Veal, who runs media there and all that, I haven't even talked to them. But anyway, wasn't there. Long story short, I hate it because, you know, we have our normal fun that we do in Memphis. I kind of take everybody around, and we have fun and laugh it off. And Memphis is a great town.
How did Ponchos, with their bag of cheese, survive without you being there?
Yeah, I don't know. Ponchos has basically sold out, gone out of business.
Oh, they have?
Yeah, they have.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Poncho's Cheese Dip. Poncho's Restaurant started in West Memphis, Arkansas, back in the 50s. And probably my favorite place in the world to eat Mexican food. But, they used to send me the cheese dip overnight, FedEx, and dry ice in 5-pound bags. whatever. But anyway, they're gone. They changed. They still sell Poncho's Cheese Dip in some Walmarts or Kmarts or Kmart, but Kroger, same difference.
Yeah.
I'm a Publix fan, of course. Anyway, it's not the same stuff. So I've gone to Willie's. Willie's salsa. It's really good.
That's kind of interesting because I would think the doctors would tell you that the bag of cheese might be off your menu now. They still let you eat that?
Yeah, you know, I don't eat as much cheese or any of that. And I'm thin, so I've never had any trouble. But, when you get your gut cut on twice in a 5.5 or 10-year period, it's no fun.
I imagine.
But I hate that I missed Memphis. And Southwind is so much fun to watch because it is, as you know, and our listeners, hopefully most of our listeners are fairly educated, understand that Southwind, as far as balls in the water, number one on the PGA Tour.
It's a hard damn golf course.
Oh, God, it's hard. I've played in the Pro-Am there a number of years, and it's tough. I mean, I don't like Southwind. I'm sorry, I don't.
There's a lot of carries. There's constant water kind of winding through the whole course, and so a lot of tee shots and second shots are over water or next to water.
Are framed by water.
Yeah, even on 18.
18.
You know, guys
brutal.
Hitting in the left, and you go in the water on 18 when you're trying to just get it to the house, and you can't. So Yeah, it's a very, very challenging, and to the point we're mentioning about Hideki.
Oh, God.
Comfortable lead and was just nailing everything and just a lot of pars, but that's all he needed, right? He was getting by with pars on the front nine, and well, I think he had, one under in the front, and then started the back nine with two or three more pars. That's all he was doing, but he still had a comfortable four or five shot lead the entire time. And then, bam, Southwind hit him, and next thing you know, he's in the water. Yeah, he's got a bogey. He's got a double bogey.
Started the final round with a five-stroke lead, and that was the largest 54-hole lead. Listen to this. Largest 54-hole lead on the tour this season. A five-stroke lead. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But, 12 through 15, he played in four over. And then, of course, birdies on number 17 and 18 to come back.
Which was crazy.
Hell of
right?
I mean, yeah, after the two toughest holes. He birdies.
After your confidence goes, you would think, through the floor, and you went four over through four holes when he had the bogey, double bogey, bogey, and a par thrown in. I mean, it was like he had to be, and he's out of the lead. I mean, he suddenly was looking up at Victor Hovland with the lead. And yet he pulled it back, which says an awful lot about him. I thought it's a great story that he could kind of unravel and then ravel back up again and get birdie.
We need Steve Johnson on the show because I want Steve to break down Hideki's swing for us, especially his swing with the driver. Because he just stone cold Steve Austin stops at the top.
Yeah,
just,
hard to do.
That's
hard to do.
Yeah,
folks. I try to do that. I try to practice doing that. But in all honesty, once you've got your swing, whatever it happens to be, if it's too fast, too slow, whatever, that's kind of your swing.
Yeah.
To change that drastically and just like pause at this stage of your game, it's so hard to do and really consistently hit it. He's been doing that forever, and you kind of have to learn that. But you're right. I mean, it's so... And then when he flushes it, he just comes through and bam, on a rope. He puts a little curve on the ball, but not much. Every shot he was hitting, for the most part, I love the TrackMan too. I love being able to see the flight of the ball. That's something only the last 5 years we've really seen that technology. But I love seeing it. In the past, you just saw the ball take off, and then you'd see a tower shot of the ball in midfield. You're like, okay, I don't know where that is. Until it lands, I didn't know where it's going.
No. Here's what I want to see. I want to see a compilation of bad shots on TrackMan. I think that would be great. You know, this duck hook OB or this.
They do that once in a while. They do that sometimes.
They do. It's hilarious. They show
Jordan Spieth hitting the ball over by the Titleist truck.
They show
that once in a while.
It's hilarious to watch.
And you're like, man, those are pros. And I get most of them are pretty straight. But then you do see some of those that makes you feel better about yourself going, who is that? Because the thing goes like four fairways to the left. And it just shows you some of these guys, which is to the point of Hideki. He lost it. And in your mind, you got to be thinking, okay, where's this next shot going?
Well, listen,
pull it together.
Remember, if you look back, you know, he got into the – he pulled some Tim stuff with his wedge, okay? He kind of, you know, chunked a bunch of wedges all of a sudden. And he had an approach shot, I think it was 12, correct me if I'm wrong, but where there was a ball mark where it hit and rolled back down the hill
up
the green. And he walked up and with his foot pressed down that indentation that the ball had made when it came down from his approach shot. And after that hole, maybe it was 11. I wish I could remember. But anyway, long story short, my point, folks, that I'm trying to make is Rules came over to him and said, listen, you might have an infraction here, Hideki. You repaired something off the green, which you cannot do, and was it in your path? Was that your intended line on your next shot coming into the green? In other words, he repaired a mark in front of his possible intended line, which he said it wasn't his intended line. Therefore, it wasn't a penalty.
And that's the difference. That seems like such a
intent. That's like the Russian judge gave her a four.
You know? How would you?
I mean, really? You know?
I mean, to that point. And I'm not in any way accusing.
Are you going to say, I was intending
but
on?
Why would you say yes?
My point.
You never would.
Yeah, no,
that's not my line. And so, if it's not your line, which seems like a stupid rule, if it's not your line, but it's 2 feet to the right of it, you can do it,
Mr. Bassett. Did you intend to get into the car and drive after you had three Glenlivets from the country club back home? Absolutely not. Okay, you're free to go.
Yeah.
Really?
Right?
Come on, man.
Your intent.
God. Anyway, that. They said, and if you listen to the announcers, they said, let's see how that affects him on the next couple of holes, because that will rattle a player. It gets them out of their rhythm. It gets them out of their thought process. Now is, what do I have a penalty? But okay, so and it obviously did a little bit. It seems
little
like
bit.
It did anyway.
Yeah.
So you know, from now on, Tim, when we're playing golf together, do not talk to me. Okay, just don't talk to me.
The birdie putt on 17 was critical because it was what, 35 feet?
Yes.
Something like
yes,
that. I mean, it was a long.
That was a spring.
Really, a lag putt that you're just trying to get close, and that thing. When that happened,
I said, okay, that's it.
Oh, holy. And then, of course, on 18, he had a very aggressive approach shot. It was just a bonus.
No, back up. That drive was aggressive as hell.
Well, the drive was,
he threw it
right,
down
the
right
all the
side
way down the
with a draw, and that whole fairway pitches right to left, and it narrows into the landing area. Nobody was in that fairway most of the day.
And right before that, I guess one group maybe before, Sam Burns hit it in the water on that hole, which at that stage, that's a $200,000 mistake, right? It cost him a lot of money to get a bogey on a hole that he just puts it in the fairway, or even in those bunkers on the right where a lot of guys ended up, you can still get out from there and get on the green.
That's like marrying the wrong girl.
It's a big money
mistake.
And so Hideki.
sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hideki almost saw. The difference was 3.6 for Hideki. Hovland got 3.6 to 2. I think second place, maybe 2. I mean, it's $1.5 million that he recouped, if you will, that he was headed for second place with a few holes to play and got back to the winner's circle. And I know that's not necessarily on your mind 100%. I mean, I can't explain or expect that these guys never think about money or their status or where they're at, second, third. They certainly know a lot of these guys if I'm in the top 50 because they had to keep track of that. So they've got numbers in their head. But yeah, so I mean, even from that standpoint, to recoup that $1.5 million you almost gave to Victor Hovland and or to Schauffele, I guess, right? Xander Schauffele was in second.
Yeah, Schauffele,
who'd already finished and sitting in the clubhouse. Xander saw $1.5 million disappear.
Yeah.
He had it, and then in two holes it was gone.
Well, it's
I love that aspect of it. It's
I
just
like
such
that
a
side
weird,
of the drama. Yeah,
yeah, it's just such a weird world that, you know, Schauffele had nothing to do about anything. He finished, played everything he could, and is watching. But because of what was going on in front of him, there was money going into his account and then coming out of his account.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching your stocks. You know,
yeah,
right now.
It's like what the hell is going on here?
Yeah,
Speaking of which, did you watch any of the LIV Tour at Greenbrier?
Well, I did, but let's back up. I don't want to get away from Hideki for a minute because a couple of neat things about what happened here. He has successfully converted his last three 54-hole leads on tour. Okay,
not easy to do.
No, not easy to do at all. I mean, the Zozo in 21, the Zozo Championship, and the 2021 Masters.
Yeah.
Two wins. And this is the first win, of course, since his bronze medal. Wow. Okay. It's been
and
a long
won
time.
A bronze,
you know,
at the Olympics.
Bronze, yeah.
So he's
But this
he's
was
obviously...
his 10th Tour Championship, which is a big deal.
Tour win.
Tour win, yeah.
Yeah.
But his first playoff championship.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Big
anyway,
deal.
It was...
A lot of drama.
I was bored.
It was cool.
I'll be honest with you. I was bored.
Well, yeah,
I was watching
was
the LIV tournament.
Along.
Now we can go to that. I was flipping back and forth because I was watching LIV because LIV came down. It was fun watching Rahm and Koepka go at it.
It was.
That was good. And the coverage was really, really good.
Yes.
The team is good there. I mean.
I'm still not a fan of the screen and the too much color on the sides and the left and the right. And there's a lot of stuff going on.
It gets a little complicated,
And the team scoreboard is going on.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure. They don't also, I think I'm right on this, they don't put what hole they're on. Correct me if I'm wrong. They put how many holes you have left.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're looking at John Rahm and it's got the whole leaderboard down the left-hand side and Rahm is one shot back, it doesn't say he's on 14. It says six holes to play.
Because it's
like
a shotgun start.
I guess.
Yeah, because it's a shotgun start. So it doesn't matter if they're on seven because he hasn't played 1 through 6.
Good
yet.
Point. There you go. Okay. Yeah. That explains it.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that's why they
that's
do
why.
That. And
there you go. Okay.
I talked to Jerry Foltz about that.
Because I have to do the math, and I don't like to do the math while I'm watching sports.
Well, I don't like to do math, period.
Six holes to play.
Especially when I'm bouncing my
15,
checkbook.
16,
Jesus,
17,
God
18,
almighty.
19. Okay, how many holes has he got?
Hey, here's the kicker, though, back to Memphis real quick.
Yeah.
The kicker is, by virtue of a couple of hiccups, Keegan Bradley is now in this week at Castle Pines.
Without having played.
At number 50. At number 50.
He did not play at Memphis.
Yeah.
And watched his fortunes. Who is it? McKenzie. Was it? Maverick McNeely.
Maverick McNeely.
Finished at 50. Like he parred 18 with a very nice, almost made a birdie, but he parred 18 with a great putt from 40 feet and came within 2 inches of going in. But anyway, that put him at 50. Well, that was precarious because he knew other guys were playing. Yeah. And so he backed down to 52, I think, or something. And so he won't continue to play. But at the same time, Keegan moved up. And it's all because of what other things are happening on the golf course. A bogey here, a birdie there changes it.
You're just sitting there letting your life play out before you in other people's hands.
While you're playing, but here, playing with
here,
your kids.
Here again is another big kicker because the top 50 now are fully exempt for the 2025 PGA Tour season.
Big deal. Big
and the Players' Championship, the top 50.
All the signature
events. All the eight signature events. That's eight.
Big deal.
You're in the money deal. Big money events.
Right.
19 of the players who advanced, 19 of the top 50 were not in the top 50 of the final 2023 FedEx Cup standings. 38% weren't in the top 50. So that shows you what the big swing this thing caused. Now, I don't want to get into it, but we're going to tease them next week on the next show, whatever. It won't be next week, probably be this week. But we're going to talk about what it means in position 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way down. And it gets pretty screwy. And we're going to explain how you can start minus 10. I start plus 20.
It's like NASCAR, and you get to start all the way around the track, and the other guys are at the starting line. Yeah. But Frank is starting way over there. Frank, what are you doing? You get a little head start, and Frank's halfway around the track.
No, I've got it figured out. You don't have to do that. You can start everybody at the same time in NASCAR. Just not everybody starts with a full tank of gas or full air in their tires. Yeah, just watch the carnage.
They don't have fourth gear.
How much fun would that be?
Yeah. Anyway. So that's what will happen, and Scotty has just to cut to the drama. Scotty has such an insurmountable lead. He's number one no matter what he although he's an automatic top 10 every tournament he plays in, so he wasn't going to drop too much.
He was fourth in this, so, you know. But he
had such a big lead. If he could putt, that's always Scotty's, and I get it. I mean, it's hard to criticize a guy who's won as much as he has and everything else. But had he putted better in a lot of these tournaments, he would have 10 wins this year. I mean, including this one, where he just missed a number of 8-foot birdie putts.
Yeah.
You know, 6-foot par putts that you're like, and he kept looking at his caddy. And apparently, you know, you never know, unless you're right there, how much the caddy plays in reading a putt. Some guys have their caddy read a lot, some very, very little. Apparently, Scotty reads almost all of his own putts, and his caddy, Ted. Teddy Scott gives a little bit of insight, but not much. Yeah. And so that's okay. I mean, that's the way they do it, but he was getting a little animated, right? He'd look at Scott and kind of be like, "Pow!" and pointing to the left, and it's up and it's down. And he was getting frustrated, I think, with his own reads.
Here's the deal. If point in fact, and we don't know this because they have a great relationship and they're both fine, you know, Christian men. If point in fact, he was looking at Ted, which I don't think he was, because Ted maybe gave him a little bad read, maybe. I don't think that was the case.
I think it's just that's his confidant. So he just had somebody say, you know, it's on me, but how did that ball go right instead of, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think he was blaming him for it. He just was animated.
Teddy had given him, I would have looked at him if I were Teddy and said, "Hey, pal, I gave you the read. You just need to execute."
Yeah.
So cover your family.
You never know. Right.
You never know.
And plus,
but he did get upset. But here is my favorite motion. Sam Burns just is fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Because he breaks drivers?
Flipping that driver down the fairway, and then he proceeds to hit every fairway after that with his 3-wood.
Yeah. Who needs that driver?
Who needs a driver? If you can hit a 3-wood 280, come on, give me a break.
Yeah. You know. I thought maybe the head just came off. I'm curious, not that you know the rule. If it was just one of those heads coming off that we all have now that are adjustable, right? You put the head on, you have to get your little tool out. Are you allowed to take the tool out and put a head back on?
If it comes loose, you can. Yeah, you can.
Even if you caused it, or you can't.
No, if you cause it by
doing what he did,
by doing what he did,
slamming it.
No way.
I don't think you can take out the tool.
But if he calls over an official and says something's loose in this thing, can we tighten it?
Or if it just came off in a swing and just went down the fairway, you can get your tool out and put your head back.
Yeah, you're allowed to replace the club.
Because I think that's what happened. I don't think it snapped. I think he kind of came off where connects.
He broke it. He broke it off at the hosel. Yeah.
You don't know that. How do you know that?
Yes, he broke it.
Were you there, Frank? I don't think you were.
No, I was in my hospital bed watching it.
You're eating poncho cheese.
No, I wasn't. No, I was eating hospital food. Thank you very much. And it was thrilling. Here's the thing that's scary, by the way. You're laying in the hospital bed. My surgeon, a great guy. I mean, great guy. Big, big, avid golfer. They want to talk golf because they know what we do for a living, right? We're in the business. And so he comes in, you know, after surgery, I'm laying there like, relaxing with the Dilaudid pump.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. Oh, my God, that's good stuff. It'll just make you love everybody. I even love the ugly nurses. Kidding. kidding. My nurses were great. Okay?
Kidding. I don't love them.
No, yeah. I know I do. I love them all. Anyway, he comes in and he says, all right, man. He said, you know, what do you think about the tournament? He didn't say you made it through the surgery. Great. Nothing. He said, what do you think about the tournament this week? I know it's going to. And I'm like, huh? You know, can we talk about the fact you just split me wide open?
Before I give you the bad news, Frank, what do you think about the tournament?
Exactly. Oh, by the way, you're going to die.
Yeah. Oh, have you made arrangements, Frank?
Yeah, really. You know, are you going to be cremated, or do you like cremation? What's your choice? And I recommend not just the cardboard box if you're going to.
Can I show you a diagram?
Oh my God. Anyway, it was fun, and
Scotty does have a big enough lead that no matter what happens, they move on to Colorado. Castle Rock. Have you ever played Castle Rock?
I have. It is. It's up high too.
It's got to be beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
I've played in Colorado, but I haven't played Castle Rock.
It has the course itself, and we'll get into it in the next segment, but the course itself has 400 feet of elevation change just from number one to number 18. It goes up and down and over. It's all over the place. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, some of those shots, but it's beautiful scenery. You know, I mean, and the PGA Tour, LIV Tour, golf in general, professionals are playing at beautiful places. I get it. But some are definitely better than others. And
not many goat tracks on the PGA Tour.
Playing in the Rockies is I mean, just the views and the off and the down the way. And then, as you said, some of the tee shots are elevated. Some of the greens are elevated. And that's just so.
It's crazy.
And you got to take into account, they'll put that probably, that'll be a stat they'll put up. But you have to take into account the elevation you're at. So you're already playing at 4,000 feet or whatever. So your 7-iron might go 6-8 yards further than it normally would. You got to take that into account. You know, you got to do a little bit of math when you're out there. So
yeah, just a touch. Yeah, and it's and you know, we talk about the quality of the courses and the condition of the courses. And like you said, one of my favorite places is West Virginia. I mean, the Greenbrier is just fabulous.
Yes.
And it looked gorgeous. I mean,
did a good crowd. Crowds look good.
Good crowd.
You know?
And that's,
people,
you know,
people showed up.
That's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, Greenbrier's kind of out there.
You got to want to go there.
And folks, if you you got to go, period.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous.
Does the governor still own it? What is it, Jim Jeffries?
Jim Justice.
He
does. His family still owns it. He owns it.
Yeah. He's still the governor?
Yes, he's still the governor.
Okay.
His daughter is the physician in residence there at the Greenbrier. Jim's a great guy, great family. Love the place. I mean, it's so historic.
Yeah.
If you haven't looked it up, it has a lot of history with our government and where that was for continuity of government or continuance of government. The bunkers there is where they would send whatever's left in a nuclear war. They would go into the bunkers under the Greenbrier. It's bad, cool place.
If that were to happen, you're saying.
In the casino, you wear a coat and tie in there. I love it. It's like, you know, you could wear a tuxedo in there, like be like James Bond.
Yep.
And lose everything you got.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about LIV Tour and what's going on with those guys, and also look forward to Colorado and the next stop, and then, of course, East Lake, which, by the way, Frank, I've said this before. I'll keep saying it. I don't like that the FedEx Cup Championship is always in the same golf course. They move other things around, and although St. Jude's is pretty much the same, but Castle Rock isn't normally in
Players
the rotation.
Championship, same thing.
I'd like them to move East Lake. It's a big deal. It's the Tour Championship. It's a $25 million purse. There's a lot of stuff going on. Let the rest of the world, rest of the country, I mean, get a taste of it.
Yeah. We'll talk
I don't
about
want
that.
It to always be. And by the way, it's not on a golf course that I envy. It's a fine golf course. Nothing wrong, but it's not a place that I'm like Pebble. Or Augusta, or places you're like, oh, you got to see it. If that was the case, then it'd be like going to the Masters. Okay, that's fine. They always keep it there. If you ask anybody your top 10 courses, East Lake never comes up. Yeah. So why do they do it, Frank?
30 players. We'll talk about that in the next segment.
Damn it, what do they do?
I have an idea why they do it.
Okay, well, then see. Then it's worth coming back to hear Frank's version of why they decided to do this and a lot of other opinions when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I shall return with our opinions right after this. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back.
Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett. And we're talking about Live Tour as well as the playoffs for the FedEx Cup playoffs, moving on to Colorado at Castle Rock. And so, Frank, we had 70. They whittled this down the last couple of years. Used to start at, what were they, at 120, 125 the first year, 100, maybe the top 100, and then they whittled it down. They took out an event, right? There used to be another playoff event, which I liked. I don't know. They minimized it now. And so now it's even more exclusive, if you will. So only 70 make it to the St. Jude's, and now it's down to 50. And that counts out a lot of great players, including Jordan Spieth, who did not play very well, but is going to have surgery on his wrist that's been bothering him all year. He went, and you talked about the way people's seasons can kind of go up and down, and even in the FedEx Cup playoffs where your positioning is at top 70, top 50, 30, and all that.
Yes.
Spieth was 12th in the world back in February.
Yes.
12th in the world. He is now 66th or something like that. To show you how bad the season's gone, but that coincided, he says, with his bad wrist, and he tried to work his way through it like a lot of golfers do. This is something we talk about, but people don't always get it, that if you're on a team and you play baseball, basketball, whatever, and you're injured, well, the team carries on, but you have surgery and you hope to come back, right? Hopefully that season or whatever. But if you're a golfer, there's no team that carries you on, right? You're on your own. And so if you have to have surgery, you've got to make that decision. Do I stop making money? Now, for a guy like Jordan Spieth or Rory, maybe not as big a deal, but certainly for guys that are trying to make a living, if I have to have wrist surgery and I'm going to be out for 8 weeks, that's eight tournaments I'm going to miss. Can I afford to miss eight tournaments?
What does your caddy do?
You've got to make those decisions. And so in Spieth's case, he tried to treat his way through the injury. Didn't happen.
Didn't work.
Played poorly. Missed, I think, eight cuts this year. I mean, just really had a very, very
bad year.
Poor year. And so he's going to have surgery. And he says, I'll be out probably till January.
Yeah.
But okay, I got the time to do it. He won't be a President's Cup. Wasn't going to be there anyway. But he'll miss all of the fall. But now that's what he's going to have to do. So we'll see if indeed that will change things for him. But he was one of the guys, one of the better known, that it did not make it to 50. But the next 50 will now make it, of course, to Castle Rock and play at the BMW Championship, which the BMW has moved around, right? And it has been in Carmel, Indiana, correct?
Yes.
I can't remember the what golf course is that there?
Indianapolis, Indiana. Well, that's
Crooked. Is it Carmel Crooked Country Club?
Dick.
Is it? Oh yeah, it's what is it called? Why can't I think of this?
In Carmel, Indiana.
Yeah.
You talking about Crooked Stick? What are we talking about?
Crooked Stick.
Crooked Stick.
Is where the BMW had been.
Yes.
It also has been in Illinois at Medina. Right, we went to it.
Yes,
the BMW.
Yes, we did.
Around, and now it's going to be in Colorado, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah,
I do have a problem, as I said before the break, that the championship is always in Atlanta, and it seemed like they started that as a tribute, kind of, I think, to Bobby Jones, maybe.
Or Southern Company, or Coca-Cola,
or one of the sponsors.
Okay,
of it, you know,
But BMW
could say, I guess, we want it in one location all the time, but they don't. BMW's been the sponsor, but they move it. But yeah, the home base for Coca-Cola and Southern Company is Atlanta, so maybe they've put their thumbs down and said, hey, it's got to be here no matter what. I'm not crazy about that.
Well, the East Lake Foundation is a big deal, too, to the PGA Tour and to Coca-Cola and Southern Company. And, of course, the Payne Stewart Award is always awarded at the Tour Championship. Congratulations, Brant Snedeker.
I'd like it to move around.
Yeah, I understand.
It's not going to happen, but I would like it.
30 players, okay, 30 players.
Top 30 go.
You don't start till 11 o'clock. You know, it's a leisurely tournament.
It's a small field. I mean,
East Lake is not in the nicest part of town. I mean, let's face it.
It's been rejuvenated in the last 20 years, but you're right. It had, and that's to their credit, the people, not only at East Lake Country Club, but Atlanta in general, took an area of Atlanta that had become very beat up. And not doing well, and a lot of crime and other things.
Tons of crime. And
put new housing in and changed an awful lot of it. So it's much improved than it had been. So they have it there, and it's 30. And just so people understand it, it'll be staggered. They didn't know how exactly to do that. At first, they had a mathematical equation. Remember how tough it was to figure out who was winning?
Oh.
And if they won the tournament, did they win the FedEx Cup playoff? I mean, you had to do all that.
Had to have Einstein to figure it out.
And, well, they had a guy. I can't remember his name.
Steve Sands.
I
guess Steve Sands.
No, well, they had Steve Sands. But they also had the last few years, they have a math guy. He's almost like a guy who works for the networks when they come to elections to explain if Trump wins
West Virginia and Hillary wins Pennsylvania, you know, they go to Pennsylvania, then they go. It was that kind of guy, right? He had to do the math.
Oh, we just have this a shootout. Happens. You know, just give him a
gun. So they had to do that figure. And there were times when guys like Bill Haas, if I'm not mistaken,
chipped in.
Chips in on 17 or whatever is out of the water. That gave him the championship, but he still did not win that particular tournament. Somebody else won it. And so that got very confusing.
Well,
and so now they try to combine it so that the one guy will win both. He'll win that tournament at East Lake, the tour championship, and he'll win the FedEx Cup pot of gold. Championship,
exactly.
So, which is $25 million will go to one person.
But whoever the low scorer, though, I don't know. It's we're gonna have to explain that. You know, like I say in the next show.
Well, the guys from like 26 to 30 started even par.
Right.
I know that. And then you go 20 to 26 or 25 start at 8 under.
Right.
And then 7 or 6 or something like that. Right. Or 2 under, 3 under, 4 under. All the way to Scottie Scheffler, the number one guy goes in as number one. He starts the tournament 10 under par. So he's got a 10-shot lead whoever's number 28 or 30.
Yeah.
Right? He's at 10 under. They're at even par. So he's already got a 10-shot lead to try to give him that's the benefit, if you will, of
being the try to figure leader. Out how. Yes.
Yeah, somebody's got to have an advantage of it's like home court advantage when you win enough games and you play the World Series and you win more games than the other team, you get more games at home. Right?
Yeah,
that's your advantage. You play at home.
I don't know that I care for that methodology.
Yeah, they had to try to figure out. I don't think a lot of people are still crazy about it because they say, well, that's golf is about we all started even par.
Yeah.
Right? To start a guy 10 under. How do you get to 10 under? You didn't make a birdie.
Well, it's
right.
It's,
how do you get to 10?
Well, we don't start at even par. You know, your handicap's X, my handicap's X, and so there is a differentiating factor in there.
Yes.
So we don't all start at even par, to be honest.
And Scotty's handicap, I think, is better than everybody else's, too.
Would
he be a plus 12?
No, he's a plus 6, isn't he, or something like that?
I'm just saying. He's so good.
Oh, my God, he's so good.
He's plus whatever's off the chart.
I know.
Now, I did a thing on my local show here, Frank, speaking of Scotty.
Which is called The Game.
The Game.
In Dallas.
On CBS Radio here in Dallas.
Yep.
And I did some research, very unlike me. I did some research.
No, that's Stankowski.
and said, okay, people want to say that Scotty's having a very Tiger-like year, and he certainly is having a phenomenal year. Not only the money he's won, but 6 tournaments, one of Masters, top 5 in other 2 majors, on and on, right? Players' Championship, only guy to repeat as a Players' Champion, all kinds of accolades. The money thing is always a little bit weird because you can't comprehend it. It's not comparable because Ben Hogan never played for nearly the money that Jack Nicklaus played for, that Arnold Palmer played for, that Tiger Woods. It's always different, right? The money goes.
Right.
But people always want to bring up the money, right? And that now Scotty has won, I think, $38 million this year, something like that. Tiger didn't.
On course winnings.
That's because Tiger was doing it 25 years ago, right? So the money is different. It's not the fair thing, but they bring that up. Just from the strokes and all that stuff, Tiger in 2000 won 9 tournaments, won all 3 majors. If you remember, he had 4 because he'd won the Masters the year before, but he won 3, first guy since Hogan to win 3 majors in a calendar year. He did win a lot of money, and that's all compounded by what inflation and everything else for Tiger. So Tiger had a better year in 2000.
Yes.
Tiger had a very similar or better year than Scotty's having this year in 4 more years. If you remember, Tiger was unbelievably dominant for a good 10-year period from about 97 to 07, 08.
Yep.
He was kicking everybody's butt. So the question was, Scotty's having a great year, still not as good as Tiger's top 3 or 4 years, but phenomenal year. But can he keep doing it, right? Can he keep going for the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Does he want to? He probably
could.
Does he want to?
Has a family now.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to have another baby. All these other things get factored in, and it goes without saying, but we'll say it. Tiger's dad, who probably is never going to go down as anybody's favorite, but Tiger's dad openly said, he told his son, do not get married. Do not start a family. Put that off as long as you can. I can't give you a year, but put that off as long as you can. You need to be self-centered to be the greatest golfer that you can be. And of course, Tiger was that, and he did put that stuff off. Unfortunately, even when he got married and had a family, his mindset didn't change much, and he still was very self-centered and all that. And that's the whole book that we've talked about.
Yes.
Everybody's read. So that's what's different. I don't know that today's guys or anybody else that has a family and does all these other things,
well,
that you can stay that focused for 5, 6, 8 years of the
way Scotty's playing this year. Well, I just don't know if you can.
Here's one thing, too. Look at the money. I mean, once you put that kind of money, that's generational money in the bank.
Then there's off-the-course money, too.
That's where the big money is
four times that money.
Oh, or more. Yeah, right? Tiger's, he was, what was he, 60 or 80 million, 70 million from American Express?
That he was getting from Nike and everybody else?
And AT&T and Nike? Yep. Oh, my God.
Yep. Right.
So, yeah, look at the money, and you say, okay, is it, you know, is it worth it to keep going and pushing my body and pushing myself this hard? The emotions that it takes.
It's a rare person that can keep, and I put Jordan, Tom Brady, and Tiger kind of in their own category. Those guys kept it going for years and years and years. Were great. Their teams were great. They're winning titles. They're doing. That is virtually impossible because you're right. Most people get a little content. They're like, you know, maybe I'll practice, but you know, maybe I'll go in the backyard and play a little catch with my son. Yeah. Maybe I'll take a vacation because we haven't been anywhere. We want to go to Greece. I mean, there's all these things that now are accessible to you that you want to experience that you kind of have to stay single-minded and just be a bit of a douchebag, to be honest with you, to be that guy.
Well spoken.
It's really hard to be an all-around great person, great family man, and still say that focused on all the drills you have to go through, all the practice, all the drive to keep it going. It's so hard to do. Yeah. Why would you want to? Right? It seems like I want to get with my family. I want to go get on my jet and do the things I want to do. Take my buddies and we'll go play Pebble Beach. I can do all that stuff. But I think in Tiger's case or Michael Jordan's case, they went and practiced. They went and ran. They lifted weights. They did all the stuff because they wanted to keep it going. That's a hard. So I don't know if Scotty can. We'll see. This has been his year. And Xander Schauffele picked a bad year to have his great year because he's probably not going to be player of the year when most cases he would be. No, but Scotty's got it wrapped up.
Player of the year. Scotty's got it wrapped up.
Two majors would normally get you player of the year. And what? He's won three other tournaments, I think? Scheffler? Yep. Schauffele?
Well, Schauffele, no. He's what has Xander done this year? He's only won two tournaments this year, just two majors.
That's the only tournaments he's won?
I believe so. Six multiple winners season. He's a multiple. There are only six multiple winners so far this season. With Scheffler at six, McIlroy at two, Xander Schauffele at two, Robert McIntyre at two, and Dunlap at two.
Oh, I thought Schauffele won back in the spring.
And these are my notes from the tour.
Huh.
I don't know.
I guess he's only won two majors.
Check that.
Well, then he sucks. Well, I don't know what I'm saying there. He sucks. He's not good.
He's out. Why
would I vote for him?
Get the hook. Yeah, that's what it says right here in my notes. I'm reading them.
And Scotty, which does not go to the voting, can't be discounted, won a gold medal.
And doesn't count.
But it kind of counts. And for the rest of his life, just like Xander, he'll be called a gold medalist, which is really
Olympian.
Pretty cool.
He's an Olympian.
And by the way, pretty cool that anybody crying is cool, but cool in a sense that he got emotional singing the national anthem because you just don't see that today much anymore.
I still do that. When they play the national anthem and you stand up and you put your hand over your heart, I still get a little teary-eyed. I really do.
Well, that's okay.
Because it just means a lot to me.
But you just don't see a lot of athletes and teams and stuff that do that because they hear it before every game and all that. And then maybe it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But it got to him. I mean, he kind of was singing or lip-syncing the lyrics and everything. Yeah. And I think it hit him like, wow, I'm playing. Because maybe more so than a team because those guys always play for a team, in this case a country. Scotty doesn't. Scotty plays like all golfers for himself. And so to be able to sit there and say, I did this for my country, probably would get you emotional. Like, wow, look what I did, and I'm proud of my country.
Put it in perspective. We won how many gold medals at the Olympics? Was it 30 or 31?
I think we both won 40. I think China and U.S. won
40. 40.
We tied at 40.
Yeah, 40
we won more overall medals.
Scotty Scheffler's gold medal counts in that.
Sure does.
So he was responsible for one of the gold medals.
One of the gold
teams.
Sure.
So that's a big deal. That's a huge deal.
Well, plus you're standing there, and you know you got two guys, Fleetwood and Masayama on either side of you, and they're winning bronze and silvers, and that's a unique experience to be on a podium. And I mean, you see that as a kid. We all do watch the Olympics. You never do that as a golfer, right? I mean, it's to actually do that. You do that in other sports and track. They kind of have that ceremony after a big track of, you know, swimming. They still put medals on you, not Olympic medals, but they do that. For him, it's such a unique experience. It had to hit you like, wow, I'm standing on a freaking podium. They just put a gold medal around my neck, and now they're raising the flag.
And then,
how would you not cry?
And then the closing ceremonies, the opening ceremonies. I mean, aside from all the crap that went on, That bunch of bullshit.
Whatever that was.
Yeah, that was just too much. I don't even want to go there. Yeah. But that's just, oh, God. Anyway.
But aside from that, it is.
You're playing for the United States of America.
Yes, yes.
And the key term in that is united.
Here's one other fact. Because some people, I asked this question again on my show. Is it more important, because my wife thought it was most important to have the most gold medals as far as where your standing is in the Olympics as a country. Most gold medals is most important, or just most overall medals.
Most overall.
Two different categories, because you got bronze and silver too. And so I asked that on my show, and it was kind of a toss-up, but most people thought the most important to have the most overall medals, because the bronze and silvers count too, right?
Yeah.
And we blew everybody away when it came to overall medals.
Well, here,
but we were neck and neck with China. But here's what here's the interesting thing, Frank. The second to last day, they're doing track and field. Second to last day, they're doing the high jump. And U.S. guy and a guy from, I can't remember, but I think Australia, are going back and forth to win the gold medal. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're both finished at 7 3/4 inches, 7 feet 3/4, whatever it was. Well, they both tried to beat the other guy, and they gave him three tries. Neither of them could do it. So they're both dead even tied. This isn't like a race where it's a photo finish. I mean, the numbers are what they are. So they both had the exact same height that they cleared, same number of misses. And they went to him and said, here's the choice, guys, because obviously you're not going any higher. You can't hit it. You can both have gold medals, or we'll let you keep going if you think one of you wants to win the gold and one's going to get silver, and we'll let you go for the next 2 hours if that's what it takes. And they both said, we're going to go for the gold and do it separately. It took them 11 more jumps for the Australian to beat him by like a quarter inch.
Yeah.
Had they decided,
we would have beaten China in the gold.
We would have beaten China in the golds too.
Because well, we got a silver. A kick him off the team. That loser.
So loser. He cost us a gold freaking medal. But that would be a tough choice. I think I'd take the tie. I think I'd take the gold.
I don't know.
I think I would. Because nobody's going to ask you down the road, Frank, Dad, did you win a gold? Yes, I won a gold medal. Did you tie for the gold medal?
They give them half. No, just cut it in half.
Nobody would have said
half your medal.
Said, yes, I'm a gold medalist. End of conversation. Next question.
Here's half your damn medal. Go home.
Yeah.
God,
you get the medal, and I get the ribbon that goes around your neck. You know, you get you cut it up.
God.
So anyway, so it's kind of, it was interesting, but that's kind of what literally that difference and that decision they made kept us from winning one more gold medal. So
yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yep, it was kind of cool. Okay, this week though we talked about it. Castle Pines, it's coming.
Yep,
it's gonna be another one. Gonna be fun. 50
top
players,
50,
top 50,
and those 50 are gonna try to get in the top 30. So
top
there'll be 30. A scoreboard going there too.
So see there's who goes. 20 losers.
Did you see the difference too? And guys like Hovland, I think even Maverick McNealy, we talked about. Some of those guys, if you looked in their final round, they had the green and red numbers, right, as far as they're going up and down, birdies, or what other people were doing. I think didn't Victor at some point get up to like 28, 29? I mean, and then he came back and almost won, so I think he finished at 4 or 5. But the difference could be 20 positions. So like when those guys are 50 trying to get to 30, a guy at 50 can definitely cut off 20 if he suddenly is playing great and in the top 2 or 3. So it's kind of crazy. You kind of think they're just going to move a little bit, but some of those guys move quite a bit.
I think they need to quit putting the numbers there and put like a Gantt chart with the sliders going from left to right and show them actively moving back and forth. I think that would be cool.
You got to be a businessman to know what a Gantt chart is. So Frank just lost most of the people that are listening going, what chart?
It's a Nat chart, right? Gantt chart.
Gantt. Yes. Yeah, Gantt.
It's okay. Whatever. We're not going to explain what the hell a Gantt chart is.
It kind of keeps you on track for building out your restaurant, so you know exactly what your costs are going to be.
Yeah, you know about that.
Yeah, you do. I'm starting to shake.
I kept telling you, don't go into that business, Tim. Don't do it.
What am I doing?
You don't want a restaurant. Open up a house of ill repute, for God's sake. You know you're.
Hey, by the way.
Is that still legal in Texas, by the way?
No, I don't think it is, Frank.
Okay,
no,
just wondering.
What are we? Yeah, we still have shootouts on Main Street.
Well, yeah. No, that's if Chicago.
If you have a dispute with your neighbor.
Chicago.
And you just go out in the street with your six shooter.
Well, Andrew Jackson, our president from Tennessee, did do that with somebody, so there.
Sure. Hey, by the way, and then we'll say goodbye to everybody, but the Live Tour got to a playoff. Talk about keeping an eye on money. That was first and second place. First place at Live is $4 million. Second is $2 million.
Yeah.
just over two, I think 2.2 million. Oh. So Rahm and Koepka are playing for a difference of almost $2 million when they went into their playoff at the Live Tour Greenbrier. $2 million, can you imagine?
Yes.
Now, I'll take second place, sure.
And a par wins the playoff,
but really? That is a huge putt you're trying to make.
Yeah.
That's going to maybe make you $2 million? That's crazy.
Well, when you've already pocketed $300 million, $2 million doesn't sound like a lot.
I don't,
it's still a lot to me.
I think it still matters.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Hell yes,
it does. It's still fuel for the jet getting you home, something, right? I mean,
golly. It's fuel for the jet.
I can't imagine making a putt. Like, Rahm had to try to tie him, right? The last, and he almost made his putt.
I know he did.
Yeah. But, you know, Rahm's got a 25-foot putt that, if he makes it, could be $2 million.
Wow.
I don't even, I can't even.
Liv, you're going to love the Liv tournament. You've not been to one yet. That's more the reason I need to come over to Dallas, because I just want to see your face. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. And it's out there at Merido, right?
It's at Merido, right?
So, absolutely. It's going to be fun. All right.
Well, all right. Hey,
it's time to go, right?
If you want to check out a place to play golf, if you don't have a home course and you've always been wanting to find anywhere in the country that you might be listening to us, and I know people outside the country are listening, but if you're in the United States, Invited Clubs is the biggest club operator in the United States. Well over 200 clubs. Some of them are restaurants and nightclubs, if you will. But most of them are country clubs and all different levels. But the one thing you can guarantee with Invited Clubs are they're the nicest people, and they're always doing everything they can at Invited Clubs to upgrade, to get better greens and better bunkers and improve everything about their golf courses. So go to invitedclubs.com and find one near you, whatever state you might live in. They'll have some, and you can go in, give them a call, and check it out. They'll let you play over there, walk around, see it, and get a feel for it. And you would be so excited if you can be a member of an Invited Club. You'll never regret it. Again, go to invitedclubs.com.
Yep, that's good. And remember, if you're looking for golf clubs, pxg.com. Check them out. Go get fitted. Incredibly.
Do you play PXG, Frank?
I did. Can't play. I can't play. Can't touch a golf club for a month.
Until October almost.
Yeah, the doctor's forbidden me to swing.
Well, that's smart though. Yeah, you want to take it easy.
Anything more than 2 pounds or something ridiculous.
Don't want to pull a stitch.
No. They had to sew muscles together and everything. It was a mess.
So
I'm. PXG
are your clubs.
PXG are my clubs.
You can probably go putt before anything else.
I can do that. Yes, absolutely.
And you've got a PXG putter. You got every club in the bag.
Every club. I'm pure PXG and the PXG golf balls. I mean, it's all great product. It's incredible product. And thank you, PXG, and the entire team. Lila Brennan and her team there, Bob Parsons, Renee Parsons. Got a box from Renee Parsons here the other day with a nice handwritten note from her. Really nice. Custom shirt they made with my initials on it. Really cool.
Very nice.
They're great
very
people.
Nice.
Great company to do business with. The whole team is fantastic, from Mike Nicolette and Brad, the entire design team there. I can't say enough about how much I really, really, really appreciate and like the PXG folks. They're great. And, by the way, they are some of the best golf clubs ever made. They're incredible.
Yep.
The new Gen 7s are out. Go get them.
See them all over.
And the Sugar Daddy 3s, too.
Live Tour. All the big boys are, a lot of big boys are playing those clubs. So
yes,
be sure
are.
To check those guys out as well.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with you probably later this week, talk more about what's going on at the BMW Championship at Castle Rock, give you a little update on what happened at Media Day for the Live Team event coming up here in Dallas in a couple more weeks. So we'll fill you in on that next time we talk to you. Thanks to Frank Bassett, as always, for being with us. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. So for Frank, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.